Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom.
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Crafts-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Drake.
Hey, mamas. Welcome to Between Us Moms. We know you can be anywhere else, so we gotta say we are so glad you're here to spend 30 minutes with us. And on that note, let's dive right in. Katie, hit us with your cliff notes.
All right. So I have briefly discussed Kaya's teething on the podcast previously, but now I feel like this is a call for help or tips because so her first bottom two teeth came in a couple months ago. Her top two teeth are now like poking through. So I think we're through the worst of that pain, but she is now wanting to bite everything. For example, on Wednesdays, we like to go out to dinner because Jason works from home. So we go to this little spot. It's like half a mile away. They know us there. They're very nice to Kaya. They bring us like plain noodles for her. We put her in her high chair and she tries to eat the edge of the table. She doesn't understand the word no. And like when we try to like kindly like remove her mouth from the table, she just goes right back to it. And so it's icky. It's disgusting.
Isn't the irony, though, that we spend the first few months of their life sterilizing the shit out of everything just for them to literally lick a public table or to put their foot in their mouth? I'm like,
why?
At some point, you're just like, who cares?
I know. It's wild.
Can't stop them.
It's weird. Also, so now I have learned, like, we bring our little wipes in and I do wipe down the table, but I still feel like that's icky, like the underneath of the table. I don't know. I just think it's so gross and I don't know why she's doing that.
Kids are gross.
Like, did Dylan do that? Is this a new?
So she teethed, but she wasn't putting her mouth on like
public things.
Not, you know, I don't think so. I don't recall that.
It's around our house too, because now we let her kind of like crawl everywhere. She loves to crawl. And she'll even go up to her little jumparoo, the little like floor pulls, and she tries to bite that. My light that's lighting me right now, she's tried to bite the base of that. Drawer handles, same thing. And then if we're like kind of cleaning off her mouth, like if she has like drool or some food on her mouth and she tries to bite our fingers, and I'm like, are we going to have a biter on our hands?
No. You know what? I'm sure you're doing this, but so this is probably going to sound like stupid advice, but are you just constantly throwing in her hand actual teethers?
So we have those cold teethers, but then I read that it's not good to give them the super like cold ones. So then we have these little, I don't know, I have a little rainbow shaped one. I have a little rattle one, but then the dog stole it and chewed it up. So that's a whole other.
There's a theme going on in the household.
Yeah. Finley, that's maybe for next week, is like what to do when you have a baby and a pet and your pet is jealous and wants all of her toys. It's just chaos here. Yeah. But so here's the thing with the cold teethers. She likes them at first and she like gnaws at them and then she throws them and then she gets upset because she's thrown it. And so it's a big game of like picking up the teether throughout the day, giving it back to her. And by that time it's like totally melted and it defeats the purpose. of a teether. So it's just a six cycle carousel that we are having right now. It's just the public table is really the hardest part for me.
Yeah. You know, my brother-in-law is a massive germaphobe. Ooh. So parenthood has been a real journey for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm honestly a little surprised he still has skin on his hands because he is the king of washing hands. Like, he's so, and maybe I'm just not a germaphobe, that this to me seems like a lot, but he will, in his own home, he uses paper towels in the bathroom to dry his hands because to him, a hand towel is filthy and disgusting. So you can imagine how he feels.
Yeah.
Really? In your own home?
Yeah, we have hand towels. I'm actually looking right now and I'm trying to remember the last time I dried my hands with one of the hand towels like hanging below our sink, because we have the paper towel. But I'm also, this is going to take a quick little tangent. I also am very meticulous about, so we get the half a size paper towels from Costco. Mm-hmm. And I only believe in using a half. Jason, on the other hand, he will literally take four giant sleeves, and I'm like, you're killing so many trees right now.
So
also, they're expensive, and also inflation, and why do we need, I don't know, I try to like multi-use, like if I'm drying my hands, and I'm also like cleaning off the coffee machine with
set. You bring up an excellent point. I think there is one in every marriage, and we balance each other. I am on the Jason train. This is a lot of information. If you are queasy about boogers, please tune out for a second. But I have had the gnarliest congestion in this pregnancy. And I don't know if it's because we just moved to a colder location or what, but I wake up and I am just like, I'm mouth breathing all night long because I can't breathe out of my nose. Oh, and when I wake up, I have neon green snot and neon green boogers just jam-packed all the way up to my brains. And I will ask Andrew, hey, can you bring me a tissue? And by tissue, I mean toilet paper. He will bring me one tiny square. And I'm like, in what world is that enough to evict these boogers? It's not enough. Bring me the roll. Bring me the whole effing roll. So you know what? That's love. I think you found your person. And I think that's a sign your marriage is going to last.
Yeah, it is going to last. And that's so funny that you say, yeah, there's one in every marriage. My last example of this, because you brought up a good point, is so we bought one of those Doppler things on Amazon.
Yeah, so you could hear the baby.
Yeah. And after you put the ultrasound gel on, you have to wipe it off, right? Mm-hmm. So then Jason will get up and same thing. I don't think we have tissues in this house. So we get toilet paper and he comes over to like wipe it off, but it's as if he's used the entire toilet paper.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because the other night he did it and I went to get up to pee and I noticed he thought about it and he wrapped back some of the toilet paper on the roll and was like, maybe I don't need this much of the roll to clean off a tiny bit of ultrasound gel. So all that to say, public, gnawing, and paper towel and toilet paper usage. That's
what a cliff note.
What a cliff note. You know what? It's funny because I actually had two in the thought that maybe that wasn't gonna be enough to really quench your thirst for what's going on in our life.
And here we are. 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
And I feel fully informed. I learned something new. I learned several things, actually. So this is great. Thank you for bringing that to the table.
What do you have?
Well, my cliff notes, you know, I had something brilliant I thought of this morning and I was like, that'll be a great one. And then, of course, I didn't write it down. And so I forgot because I'm pregnant and this baby is literally eating my brain. Mm. So what I have for you today is a shout out to all working mothers in general. But specifically today, I want to shout out working mothers who have to travel. Mm. Even more niche, working mothers who have to travel who are also pregnant. So basically, I'm shouting out myself because I have been traveling back to LA every other week for work. It is a blessing to be able to do it. I am so grateful because when we moved here, I was really sad about saying goodbye to the company I work for full-time, and they were so gracious and wonderful to extend my contract and bring me in and put me on the broadcast every week. So I go out every other week. But let me tell you, It is really testing my patience. And it's not the travel, it's the people we travel with. For example, yesterday, first time since I've moved, I was in a middle seat. It was a packed flight. There was no moving. I'm in the middle seat. I'm very tucked in there. Two things happen immediately. The people on either side of me put their elbows on the middle armrest.
Taboo. That is like flight rude. Etiquette 101.
Rude. Like, I'm in the middle seat here. The least you could do is throw me a bone and give me those armrests. Also, I am visibly pregnant.
I was just going to say, can't they see that you're pregnant? Was it men?
One was a man, one was a woman.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, so that's how we start.
Jump to that conclusion.
Yes. Well, yes. Also, I would like to say none of my Uber drivers this time helped me put my suitcase in the trunk. What the F? Again, I'm visibly pregnant. There's no, oh, this girl is just had a large meal. This is like, I am pregnant. This is a pregnant belly. And I'm like, you can't get out. I am not giving you 5 stars. Absolutely not. No. That is so rude. So that's how it actually started. Then we had the elbow gate. Then the man sitting to my right did not wear headphones and was listening to his movie on full blast.
On the little screen in front of you? Can you even do that?
On his phone. I was so pissed. I was like, we have now entered, and I'm like getting to that point of pregnancy where I'm a little irritated by like everything.
Why didn't you say something? I probably would have. Okay.
Oh, I did. I said, excuse me, sir, do you have headphones? And he said, oh, I don't. Sorry. And I was like, oh, and what are we doing about it? He did nothing about it. He continued to watch his movie. I was just like, oh, it's like people have not been in public before, have no manners or like social awareness. It was crazy. So anyway, work is great, but it's the people I have to deal with on the way to work that really are pulling at my threads.
You know what's sad is nothing surprises me anymore.
I know.
I feel like as a society, we have lost our manners to the point where I constantly am asking my friends and even Jason, I'm like, who raised these people?
Wolves.
Because who did?
In the woods.
In the woods.
I'm with you. And there have been so many weird things that have happened in the course of me traveling back and forth. And I'm gearing up for like up until... So next month I go every single week to LA because we're banking episodes and, you know, filming in advance. Yeah, because I'm about to enter that no-fly zone of like a month out for my due date. So they've been awesome working with me on my schedule, but I'm like, can I deal with people every week at the airport? Like, I'm going to need, you know.
I know.
Some kind of coping mechanism. So anyway.
I'm sorry.
You generally love people. Today, I hate people. So that's where I'm at mentally. But that's my cliff notes.
That's a good one. Everything does feel amplified when you're pregnant. But I think I would feel that way regardless of a pregnancy.
I'm growing life in this body.
I know. You're growing a liver. Jason's so tired of me telling that joke.
Oh, I literally say to Andrew every single day, I'm like, oh, you're tired? Funny, because today I grew fingers, toes, a brain, eyes. Yeah. So whatever you got going on, it's not as exhausting, but I know.
A couple more months.
2 months.
Eighth, really.
2 month countdown.
Oh my gosh. What an exciting time for you guys.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I know. Okay. Well, from rude people to the T.
What a transition.
Not even a smooth transition.
I loved it anyway.
Well, here we are. Okay. Ava Mendez is talking about why she stopped acting to raise her kids with Ryan Gosling. This is from a new interview with the Today Show. I'm going to read you guys some quotes. She basically said, "It was like a no-brainer. And I was like, I'm so lucky if I could have this time with my children." Her children are, of course, their two daughters, Esmeralda and Amada. One is 9 and one is 7. She went on to say, "It was almost like a nonverbal agreement that it was like, okay, he's going to work and I'm going to work. I'm just going to work here. He went and he did his job. He just happens to be really good at this job. And he did it and he came home." She notes that she still works but prefers not to act because it takes you on location and it takes you away from the family. What are your thoughts?
Well, we've talked about this before on the podcast. They're a very private couple. And they only really ever give us very small glimpses into their relationship. So this was kind of like a lot for her to share. But I love that she still considered and said, "He's working, but so am I. I'm just working at home," because raising children is the hardest job. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when I go to work, I'm like, this is a vacation. Because being at home with a baby is exhausting. It's demanding. It's, you know, taxing. It's wonderful and it's a privilege, but it's also exhausting. Yeah. It is a job. So I like that she referred to it that way. And it kind of reminds me of the Lily Allen thing we talked about maybe last week, where, you know, these people are really privileged that they have the option to stay home and raise their children. But what a beautiful thing to do. I can't think of anything. If that's on your heart and that is what you want to do, I cannot think of a more wonderful gift to give your family than to raise your own children, you know? So I love it because she's talented in her own right.
Right.
You know,
she's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So to step away, like, I just think it's brave for any woman to step away from the workforce because you run the risk of not being able to re-enter or for it being very, very challenging. But I love it. I love seeing women who are able to, who want to, doing it and loving it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because a few years ago, I interviewed Ava Mendez and she told me that acting is something that she would always love. And then I went back to like find this nugget because I was like, what else did she say about acting when I talked to her after I saw this interview? And she told me she wanted to play a Disney villain so that it would be a movie that her kids could watch. So I'm still waiting for that to happen if she chooses for that to still be something that she even wants
to do.
But I'm with you. I really liked that she referred to it as like, I'm working from the home, because I think in relationships, you can contribute in different ways. Like you can contribute financially or you can contribute in being the one that's like with your child 90% of the time. And that's just a different contribution. Like you're also thinking probably about like feeding that child 3 to 5 times a day. You're thinking about like meals for your family a lot of the time. You're taking care of like life things and emails and talking, you know, you're running the household essentially. So I do think people contribute in different ways. And I'm also glad because she did have such a successful career that she doesn't resent him for going on. I feel like when I watched this interview, she then also went on to like praise him and how talented he was. And I think a lot of times when one person gives up a career, so to say, to stay home, there's often like that resentment, or the person that's like out working resents the person at home because they don't see what's going on at home. So I think you have to have that mutual respect and understanding. And I think she shed a really nice light on that.
Yeah. And I think it's funny you bring that up because we did talk on the podcast about when Ryan was at the Oscars and he did his whole epic Ken performance. And she tweeted like, "You slayed. Okay, now come home and let's put the babies to bed." Like, it does feel like they have this really nice balance, a great line of communication. Obviously, we're not in their day-to-day lives, so this is all an assumption. But yeah, whatever they're doing, it seems to work. And we love to see it.
Totally. What do you have for us?
So we got to talk about Rebel Wilson, because she has a memoir that's coming out in early April, April 2nd. And in a sneak peek at the book, she reveals that she lost her virginity at, drumroll please, 35 years old. Wow. 35. She says that not everybody has to lose their virginity as a teenager. And in an excerpt published by People, she says, "People can wait till they're ready or wait till they're a bit more mature. And I think that could be a positive message. You obviously don't have to wait until you're in your 30s like me, but you shouldn't feel pressure as a young person." She's now engaged to designer Ramona Agruma. I hope I said that right. Yeah. And she welcomed her first child, Royce Lillian, via surrogate in November 2022. So, Katie, I want to know, what do you think is a good indicator that you're ready to have sex?
So I think, and I'm thinking about myself in this situation, I think a lot of people lose their virginity too soon because there's that pressure, especially in high school. And I feel like there's movies about it, right? Like losing your virginity on prom night. And
before
I think
you go
a lot
to college.
Of, before you go to college. And so I think a lot of people feel like they are supposed to do that as almost like a rite of passage and as a way or like a means of like growing up and proving that you're ready for adulthood or ready for college. But I actually think a lot of people don't understand like the emotional repercussions that can come from that and how that might like affect your relationships from like for years to come.
Yeah.
And so I think you should wait until you're really, really in love with somebody so that you can look back like fondly at that time. And, you know, hopefully maybe like you end up with that person. Not to spill my mom's tea, but my mom lost her virginity to my dad.
I lost my virginity to Andrew.
Okay. I was going to bring that
up. At 21 years old. Well, I was going to ask you how. No, I was 21. I lost my virginity to Andrew. Obviously we're married. So how special is that?
Totally.
But how old were you? And do you mind divulging your deets? And would you do it differently if you could?
So my story's a little like, yes, if I could, I wish that Jason was the only person that I have ever been with. I think that that would be so special. We didn't meet until I was, you know, in my 30s and he was like in his late 30s and he had also previously been married. But I lost my virginity when I was 16 in high school to my high school sweetheart. So I was in what I thought was love. And I feel like I've talked about this poor guy before where I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't end
up. This poor guy who shall remain nameless.
I know, right? God. So I'm so glad I did not end up with that person. But I will say I was as much in love as you can be at that age. But I also think being in such a like deep relationship at that age took a big toll on me. Like I didn't have a super, super serious relationship after that for a while. And so I wonder if that played a part in that.
What advice will you give to Kaya?
Gosh, I was thinking about that this whole entire conversation. I think I really want to be as open about this topic as possible with her so that she feels like she can come to me. And I'm really just going to reiterate that I really want her to be in love when it happens for the first time. Like I want that, you know, I think about so many of my close friends that like it wasn't the case for them. Like they did lose it on like prom night and haven't talked to the person, you know, since then. And I'm like, God, that would be such an awful, terrible memory. Like your first memory of that should be something special.
Yeah.
But how do you feel? Or what would you say?
I think my mom set the best example because she was so, my parents were just so open with us about everything. So we never felt like we had to rebel. We always had an adult in our corner who was non-judgmental, who was honest about their own experience, with everything, like drinking, drugs, sex, everything. So it was like nothing was ever off the table to talk about. And I always felt really comfortable to go to my parents for advice. And I had high school boy, like I had boyfriends always, mm-hmm. but I just knew in my heart I wasn't ready or that they weren't my person. And so I waited until it felt like this could be my person, or I feel emotionally prepared for this moment in my life. And I'm really grateful I waited. I mean, there was definitely weirdness in college. And like, I remember one boyfriend I dated didn't want to be my first because it got to a point where I was 20 years old and he's like, this is too much pressure. Yeah. So it's not that I didn't want him to be my first either, but you know, he was very vocal about like, I don't know, like this is too much. So I just feel like I'll try to do the same thing for Dylan and this little girl in my belly that my parents did for me and just be open. And if they say they're ready, who am I to tell them that they're not? But I'll just be there to make sure that they're safe mm-hmm. and that their heart is protected as much as I can protect it. Totally. But yeah, I think it's crazy. 35. Wild.
35 is wild. But you know what? Good for her.
Yeah.
She wasn't ready until 35. You know, people bloom and mature and are ready for things at different ages. Yeah. I'm glad she was so honest about that. That's like a hard thing to be honest mm-hmm. about.
For sure. I will say my mom always said, you know, sex is such a big part of a relationship. You want to make sure you like it. So there is something, she always said there's something to be said. She never pressured me to like only have one partner or wait till marriage because she knows it's important. And so she was like, you know, she didn't say like, go have all the sex, but she was like, you know, it's important to know what you like. And
yeah,
sometimes it's not a bad thing to have more than one partner. So
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So it's not just going back to you saying you wish that Jason was your only. You knew when Jason came along that it was good because you had had probably some bad in the past. You know what I mean?
I hope he's listening to this.
Jason, you good in bed, according to Katie.
I know. I vividly remember our first time. That's for another podcast.
Yes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Okay, it's time to talk OMG of the week.
Oh my God.
I do not like Governor Ron DeSantis, but that being said, he signed a bill recently that bans children under 14 from having social media accounts. Those who are 14 or 15 will need a parent's consent before they join a platform. The bill is called HB3, and it also directs social media companies to delete existing accounts of kids who are under 14. Companies that fail to do so could be sued on behalf of the child. And he said about this, quote, Ron DeSantis said, ultimately, we're trying to help parents navigate this very difficult terrain that we now have with raising kids. And so I appreciate the work that's been in. I think it's important to say he previously banned another bill that I think was too extreme. This is slated to take effect in January 2025. But of course, the bill is expected to face legal challenges. What are your thoughts?
Great in theory. I think it's going to be hard in practice, but I love this idea of putting restrictions of kids on social media. We have talked about this before. Once a kid is on social media, it opens the floodgates for bullying, for learning about things that kids just don't have to know at that age. And I think the longer we can protect kids and their naivete and their childhood, the better. And so I'm just at least glad to see that our government or leaders are trying stuff, because we can't just sit back and let it all happen. I think we talked about the petition Wait Till 8th, which is a whole, you know, what do we call it? It's not a petition, but it's like a agreement parents are making and signing to make their kids wait until they're in high school to get a smartphone. I just think the more of this that we can implement, it makes it easier on the parents to say no to their kids having a phone, to say no to their kids having social media, and to give our kids their childhood back. Yeah. And I like it.
I like it too. I mean, I said I didn't like Ron, but I actually really like this bill and the idea that people are stepping up and doing something, because I think one of the hardest things we face as parents, and obviously our kids are too young for this right now, but I think when you're a parent and you have your kid being like, oh, Sally and Susie and Mary all have phones, why am I the only one that doesn't have a phone? And like the, you feel almost pressured, like, well, why do they all have phone? Like, am I a bad parent? And so if it's an agreed upon law that no one can have smart, like you can have a flip phone, sure. You can call me all day long on that flip phone and you better answer when I call. But the idea of like banning the social media, that's I think where the issue is. It's like all of them on TikTok and Instagram and looking at altered, doctored photos and feeling left out when they see their friends all somewhere. I think this is actually a really healthy thing that hopefully will help a lot of kids more than anything, like maintain their childhood. So
agree.
I like it. Yeah.
I like it too. And from OMG to a mama we love. This week's mama we love goes to a mama in waiting, a TikTok creator in Georgia named India Betson, who went viral after she posted a video from her car after a doctor appointment where she got really, really emotional. She's proposing that patients who are dealing with pregnancy loss should have a separate waiting room at the OBGYN. She said, sitting in that waiting room next to tons of pregnant women while you wait to go back just to get blood work to see if your HCG level is back to zero sucks. Like, it absolutely sucks. There's no other way to phrase it. She also went on to Good Morning America after her video went viral, revealing that she's had back-to-back pregnancy losses. She had a miscarriage in February, and then before that, she had a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. And she said, both times I felt that there was a way we could improve an already horrific experience by adding trauma-informed care to these OBGYN offices after women learn that they've lost their baby and are going through the grieving process, and being more compassionate and empathetic to these women. She just wants to protect women who have miscarriages in the future from having to experience the same thing she did. And we just want to say, India, if you are listening, we hear you, we see you, we have been there, we're loving on you, we agree, and we are so looking forward to you having your day come, because it will come. Mm-hmm. So, Katie, I know you and I have both had losses. What were your thoughts?
I love this. I am actually shocked that this doesn't already exist, because to me it seems like a common sense, common respect practice that should be implemented. And I was instantly drawn back to like the moment, you know, where Jason and I found out we first lost our baby, and like that moment in the waiting room and that moment in the, you know, when the doctor gives you the bad news and leaves you and you feel so like alone, right? And like, thank God I even had Jason there. But yeah, then to walk out and you see all these pregnant people, like, it sucks. And so I think out of just like courtesy and healing, there should be a separation of sorts. And if it doesn't bother you, good on you, if you don't mind. But if it is something, you know, where you're like, I'm so raw in this moment, I don't want to go out and see a bunch of, you know, happily pregnant people, pregnant women, I think we should definitely implement this immediately. And I love that Good Morning America shed a light on this and used their platform to do so.
For sure. And so brave of her to go on her platform and to be so raw and emotional, because it is something that people don't really talk about. But I remember also the trauma of being in the waiting room sobbing. Like, I remember going into the ultrasound room and they said, there's no heartbeat. And then you have to go in the waiting room. Yeah. And I just was tear shedding. There's pregnant women all around me. There's no privacy. And also, you know, maybe we can't have separate waiting rooms, but one suggestion that was made was staggering appointments. And that makes perfect sense as well.
All appointment. I feel like they, something's going on with healthcare, because you either have to wait 45 minutes because there's so many appointments, like all grouped together. They really should work on that.
Yeah. So India, we just want to say we love you. You are a mama already. And when your day comes, that baby is so, so blessed that you will be its mother. So we are rooting for you. We're here cheering you on, following you. You've got this.
We're in your corner.
That's right.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We so appreciate you. Please share with a friend, tell a friend. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. We have a special guest for Friday's episode. And as we like to say, motherhood is a sisterhood, and we'll see you next time.